Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song and how powerful that is, knowing God is always good. He's always good. There's no doubt about that. Now, we live in a world filled with evil, and we all have battles that we face just simply because of the life that we live in this world and in this flesh. But God is always good, and there's always comfort to be found in looking to Him. And what a blessing it is to know that. Acts chapter 10. On Wednesday nights, we've been studying on the life of the Apostle Peter. And there's been so much. We've been looking at everything that God's recorded concerning Peter through Peter's eyes. And from the very beginning, as he was introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ and all through his discipleship, and then after the ascension of Christ and the apostolic age begins, then Peter is now leading the church in this apostolic age, and God had prepared him to do so. And he is finding out now just why he went through all those struggles and trials in his life, why Jesus said the things that he did to him, and all that preparation for doing what he's doing now. And he's leading the church in the apostolic age, which was a tremendous, tremendous task that Jesus had prepared him to take on. Now, we find here in Acts in chapter 10 that Peter was given a vision from God with the message attached. Now, the vision, he couldn't quite understand it, but within the message attached to this is found in chapter 10, verse 15. The Bible says, "And the voice spake unto him again the second time, and this was the message, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And that message just stood out from the vision that God had given to him. And he was being prepared by that vision and this message to be able to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And then as Peter connects the dots, because right after this vision, men come to him that was sent to him from Cornelius, the centurion. Of course, after seeing them and putting it all together, he realizes that this is what God was doing in his life, that he would be used to be able to take the gospel to Cornelius and to the Gentiles. And he was given instruction from God. And so he went down. Now he's before Cornelius. And Cornelius, the very last that we looked at last Wednesday night, verse 33, it says, "And immediately, therefore, I sent to thee," Cornelius speaking to Peter, "and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Now, I love that because this is what we do every time we assemble ourselves together. Saved people, not Gentiles, or not lost Gentiles, but saved people coming together to hear what God has to say to us. And Peter is standing before him as the preacher, the prophet that God had, the apostle that God had placed there to present God's message to his people. And you hear me pray that prayer all the time, that God would use me to present his message to his people from his word. And that's exactly what we want to do every time we assemble ourselves together. And so as we study the message that Peter has for the Gentiles and for Cornelius, I think it'll strengthen us just to know this truth. And that's why the Bible has it recorded for us. And so we need to receive this message tonight. And again, you hear me say it a lot of times, half the battle for those that are tuning in now is over because you're here, or you're here either physically or you're here via the live stream, but you're here. And now we have to just do what's most important during the next 45 minutes or so, and that is to receive what God has for us. And so I trust that everyone is ready to do that. And so let's read the Word of God that we're going to be studying tonight. So if you'll stand, we're going to be reading verse 34 down to verse 43. Acts chapter 10, verse 34, Peter's message to Cornelius and the Gentiles. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses, chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, it is a blessing to be in church, a place of refuge, a place where we can be encouraged and also be used to encourage, a place to receive the teaching and the preaching of thy word. And so I pray tonight, God, that you would just meet with us in a very special way, and I pray that you would just continue to open up our hearts and our minds to a better understanding of the words that you have given to us to be able to live by. So I pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. There's so much here that Peter has to present to the Gentiles and Cornelius as God would have him to, and God prepared him to preach this message. In verse 34, the very first thing that comes out of Peter's mouth that God wanted the Gentiles to realize, as well as the Jews to understand and all people to understand, is that of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now, he perceived that because he had been blinded to it. Until he received this vision from God, until he received this instruction from God, the Jews had been blinded to it. Even after he sat under the and was discipled by Jesus, it was very clearly seen and heard through the teachings of Christ, but it was one of those things that Peter did not fully grasp. And he went through a lot of the discipleship not grasping that until it came to this point where now God is going to use him to present this in this apostolic age to the Gentiles. He's already has been influencing the Jews, and now he would be used to influence the Jews concerning this revelation, New Testament revelation, of God being the God of all people. Yeah. So God is no respecter of persons, and I love this, or nations. Does God love America just simply because of Americans? More than he would even a nation of Russia because they're Russian? Or Japan because they're Japanese? Or China because they're Chinese? Does God love a people because of their skin color? Their nationality? Now, we would have prejudices like that. Mankind, if we're not careful, we will. Some because of the world wars that we've had, because of association with those that we have been at war with, and possibly the lives that have been lost, American lives have been lost to the different ones that we have been in war with. They have a hatred for those individuals, even though they don't know them. It's just a history of a nation against a nation. I know in sports, it's always, we hate the Russians. If we can beat the Russians, I mean, one of the highlights of all of the Olympic Games was when we beat Russia in hockey, yes, yes. And we can go on back and back and forth and see different things. And so people can establish a hatred and establish a love for certain nations because of history. God does not do that. He is no respecter of persons or of nations. Now, the Bible God has always declared that, but even Old Testament Jews were blinded to it. They didn't want to see it. If you go, let me just read to you. I'm going to go through several verses here, so I just want you to listen to what the Bible says. Write it down. Make sure that I'm reading it exactly the way it has been presented, or to go back for your own personal study. But in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, "For the Lord your God," now this is Deuteronomy. This is before they went into the promised land. "For the Lord your God is God of gods." This is the Pentateuch. This is part of Moses' writings concerning God to Israel. "And Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." Now, the Jews surely did not understand exactly what Moses was writing in God's word. He doth execute, and this is where we need to come to an understanding. We'll see this in just a minute as well. "He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore," if God loves a stranger, "love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen." Now to Israel he's saying, look at what he's done for you. He's given you the promised land, and he is good to you. He has been good to you. He is your God, and you are to love him and praise him and worship him no matter what. No matter when you find out that he loves those that you have developed a hatred for. Yeah. In 2 Chronicles, in chapter 19, let me read this to you. But in 2 Chronicles, in chapter 19 and verse 7, "Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts." He will not be bribed. People cannot give him money and things and sacrifices to gain his favor. That's what it's talking about that there. But he's no respect of persons. We find that to be in the Old Testament. And we look in the New Testament in the book of Romans in chapter 2. In Romans in chapter 2 and verse 8 down to verse 11 there. Let me read this to you. "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath." The Bible says tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man, nationwide that doeth evil of the Jew first. Now understand that, because they are even more accountable, because they were the chosen people that God had chosen to bring forth the Messiah. It was the Jewish race that God had chosen to be able to give to them his word so that they could apply it and be a witness to the rest of the world. That is important. Those in whom he has chosen to be witnesses, that he had given to them certain things, then there is a more expectation from those that God has given more to be an example to those that have not the same opportunities. Not everybody has the same opportunities. Israel had great opportunities, for they were the chosen of God, met with of God, directed of God, given the oracles from God. Yeah, so tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil of the Jew first, but also the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good. Okay, so judgment for those that work evil, and glory, honor, and peace to those who do good, worketh good. To the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. I trust that brings a lot of things into light. But let's go on. Let's in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 8 and 9. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So he's saying, now take that God's testimony as an example for us to apply, and not to be a respecter of persons either. But that does not mean that we cannot judge by works and reward by works. Every employer ought to be able to oversee his employees and reward them for their works. Amen. And be able to fire them for their mistakes and their failures. They don't get the rewards and the blessings for doing nothing, which I think we're losing sight of as a nation today. There's a blessing for getting out and having some ambition. There's a blessing for getting out and having a desire to work. Colossians, it's throughout the Bible here, but the book of Colossians in chapter 3. Verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for their wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. It's not because of your skin color. It's not because of your nationality. It's because of your works of righteousness or unrighteousness. Wow. And then Peter, again, he's the one we're studying here, and he wrote over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 17, and if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. So I love that, because what Peter is presenting here is exactly part of the message that God gave Peter to present to Cornelius. So in verse 17, if you call on the Father who's without respect of persons, he is not a respecter of persons, but he is a judge, and he judgeth according to every man's work. And your work you accomplish by passing the time of your sojourning here in fear, in reverence to God. Now, if you will, go back to our text. Everybody follow me during that little part of Bible study there and looking at the different verses, which again reveals God is no respecter, never has been, never will be, a respecter of persons or nations. That does not mean that he does not bless a nation above another nation. He will bless a nation above another nation. But it's not determined by nationality. It's not determined by color of skin. Go back, verse 35. But in every nation, he that feareth him, not just he that is religious, not just he that has a other gods that they want to follow after. The Gentiles all had other gods at this particular time, small letter G gods, but they did not understand the one God of all creation. We needed Jesus Christ to come by way of the Jews to be able to present to humanity the Creator God. And that God so loved the world, all nations, all people. So, but in every nation, he that feareth him, God, and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. God is looking to those that would reverence him. Knowing him for who he is, the great I am, the creator of this earth that we live in, live on, and that has given the life to every man that's on this earth. He's given a gift of life in the womb of every mother that is bearing a child. It is that God that we need to reverence. The God that gives life. And as we reverence him as a God, then we live according to his will and living and working according to righteousness. He judgeth according to every man's work. He judgeth every nation's according to every nation's fear of him and the way they live their lives. The constitution of every nation is at stake here. It is what God is looking to. A nation that is forcing abortion, I guarantee you will not have the blessings of God. Amen. A nation that is promoting that which is evil will not have the blessings of God. The reason the United States of America has had the blessings of God in the past is because the United States of America has acknowledged the God of the Bible and has lived according to the God of the Bible. We've established our constitution and our laws according to the Bible. Not because we're Americans, not because we're speak English. It's because our reverence and our acknowledgement of the Bible. Two things that God looks to. Every nation that feareth him and worketh righteousness. Reverence and righteousness. And can I tell you, they go hand in hand. A nation, a people that will not acknowledge the Creator God and reverence him will never live a righteous life. They will never promote that which is right in God's sight. The reason we promote that is right in God's eyes is because we have a fear, a reverence for an almighty creator God. One of the reasons that we get saved is because we have a reverence for an almighty God and a fear of eternal damnation. And so we look to Jesus Christ, which is God's plan to keep an individual from going to a devil's hell and paying their own debt for sin. But you acknowledge the fact that Jesus paid your debt for sin. And now you are his because he is your savior. He dwells within you. And because you have a reverence for him, you have a desire to live as he would have you to live. Amen. So reverence goes a long way in righteousness. When you lose reverence for the creator God, you lose righteousness. It's one thing to say you believe in God, but if you truly believe in God, your life will reflect it. Your works will be a reflection of what you truly believe. That was what he said from the very beginning to the nation of Israel. It's what he said to us today. God is no respecter of persons. But he is a judge. And he is a rewarder. And it's based on those two things. Reverence and righteousness. Verse 36, go back with me. Now, the powerful, what my goodness, what a powerful message that Peter is presenting to the Gentiles, which that's us sitting there. We're Gentiles. That would be you and I learning this truth from the words of God, the Bible. Peter's just preaching the words of God, even before the Bible is complete. Because he received it from Christ. Yeah. So go back, verse 36. Now he speaks of that. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, and that he was Lord of all. The word is what Jesus brought to man from God. The Word was there in the beginning with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1. It's what he's referring to. He came as the Messiah. That's important because that's why it's the Jew first. He was a fulfillment of the Old Testament promises to the Jews. The Abrahamic covenant. And it was for the Jews to acknowledge him as the Messiah first. He was always going to present it to the Gentiles. But his desire was to present it to the Gentiles from the Jews. All the Jews. But the Jews did not receive him as their Messiah. And they crucified him. But he was the Messiah. And that's why it's, first of all, for the Jews. It's fulfillment, Old Testament. But it's also, has always been his will for the New Testament, to present it to the Gentiles. For some 2,000 years now, we've had this insight, we've had this revelation. And that's what Peter is preaching. This is 2,000 years ago, but it's so applicable right now. He is to be, he is Lord of all. Because he's no respecter of persons. But it's not based on your nationality, skin color, or language. It's based upon your reverence to God and righteousness. Yeah, I love that. I love that. Verse 37. That word, I say, ye know. Now he is addressing Cornelius, which was a centurion of Rome, about 40 miles away from Jerusalem. He would have heard everything that went on in Jerusalem. He would have heard about Jesus. He would have heard about, and he presents here, John the Baptist. The word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So he says, that word I say you know. He's talking to him. He says, I know that this is part of why you sought after a God other than the God that you were serving before, is because you heard about Jesus and some of what had taken place. You heard about and you understood that John the Baptist was out baptizing and preparing the way for the Lord. And then you heard about his crucifixion, but you might have heard about his resurrection. I don't know all that you've heard, but I know that you've heard about the word that Jesus brought to us, or I wouldn't be standing here. That's why I'm standing here, is because you heard the word and you wanted me to come to help you to understand the word. And that's the key here. He had heard about it, but did not know how to apply it. Well, that's many people today. You know, a lot of people use Jesus in a very vulgar way. They take his name in vain. They take God's name in vain. And so they've heard the name Jesus, but they don't know how to apply it. And the old devil behind that just wants man to curse God. The devil behind it wants him to curse Christ. And all across America, people are cursing the name of Jesus Christ and they don't even realize what they're doing, for the most part. I've heard the name. They need somebody to help them to know how to apply it. They heard of his power. Look at verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, which with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. They heard of his power. They probably heard of this man was able to raise the dead. Which, in hearing all this, it got Cornelius to think about the true God. And so now as he's thinking about all these things that are taking place, he starts seeking after having a reverence for a creator God. And as he's seeking after and reverencing a creator God, he's wanting to make sure that his life is aligning, his lifestyle, his way of living is aligning itself with the creator God. And that's why he called for Peter. That's why, you know, sometimes people call the church. That's why people watching our television program, possibly watching live stream, they're calling, wanting to know this and that and understanding this, what they heard here and on and on and on. People come into the church, they hear it, and they come to the altar to make an application. They come to the altar to apply what they've heard, and they have an altar worker that can come up to them and help them to have a better understanding. It's what we're doing today. Is what Peter did with Cornelius is what's happening today. It's what continues to happen and has continued to happen over the last 2,000 years in the New Testament. Everyone learning who Jesus is and how to apply it to your life. The apostles are his witnesses. That's what in the apostolic age. He says in verse 39, and we are witnesses. We are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. He says every one of his disciples, the apostles, were eyewitnesses to that. That's one of the ways of being able to be an apostle And Paul was able to slip in there because of Damascus Road. Jesus met with him and called him to be an apostle. But that's what he's talking about there as far as what he was prepared to be able to do, what he's doing now to with Cornelius, as well as to anyone else around the world who would reverence God and seek after him and want to apply the teachings of Christ to their lives so that they can live to please God. That's how you get the blessings of God. They viewed the crucifixion. But not only did they view the crucifixion, the life lived, and also the crucifixion, but they also viewed the resurrected Savior. Verse 40. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people. Not everyone that was alive during that time saw him. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses, chosen before of God. Now he's referring to the apostles. Now there were others around, but it was mainly for the apostles that he would show himself to and reveal everything that they needed to understand to lead the church through the apostolic age, to where they would have the completion of the scriptures at the end. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Luke chapter 24, let's just go ahead and let me share a couple thoughts here with you before we quit. But Luke in chapter 24 and verse 44, this is what he said to them, and this is what he's referring to after the resurrection. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it was written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached. The instruction for this New Testament church age, starting there with the apostles in the apostolic age, that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Yeah. Wow. Acts in chapter 1. Acts in chapter 1, we see it somewhat presented again. But he says in chapter 1, in the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Those that he had chosen. Now remember, that's what he's preaching to Cornelius. They were those that he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, so that we would have the completion of the scriptures. The apostles would have the exact message to present throughout the apostolic age. Verse 42, we're getting ready to close here. Back in chapter 10 of Acts. The apostles were to preach of not only his resurrection, but of his judgment. That's important. Not only preach about heaven, but you have to include hell. Because that's going to affect every human being. No matter what nation, those are living in Israel, it's going to affect them, just like it's those living in the United States of America, just like those that are living in Russia, in China, in Japan, all around the world. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. The quick are the living. Even though they might have suffered a physical death, they're alive in the presence of God. To be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. So the quick is talking about those saved who are alive. They're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And Jesus will be the judge of the saved. And then there's the dead. That's the lost that never were quickened or made alive unto God. When they die, they go to a devil's hell. Not eternal hell as of yet, but a devil's hell until the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment, he will be the judge. They'll be cast into a lake a fire, eternal hell. The apostles were to preach and teach that. Every preacher worth his salt since the apostolic age ought to be preaching both. Yeah. Verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness. They're witnesses of Christ. They're preaching the words that he taught. That through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sins. Every generation, there is to be preachers who will preach Jesus. They will preach salvation, the blessings of God, and they will preach judgment to those who reject. What a powerful message. It hasn't lost its power some 2,000 years later. And this message has been preached by every Bible-believing preacher since the apostolic age. In America, people listen more. We have more of God's blessings. Not because of the nation, not because of being Americans, because of our reverence for God. We have less of a reverence for God today than we've ever had in America. And when you have a less of a reverence for God, it will affect the way a person lives, which is righteousness. Those two things. It's what God's looking for. You don't have to go the way the world goes. You don't have to go the way the nation goes. Every individual can meet those two criteria and have the blessings of God. Reverence and righteousness. What a way to live. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Life of the Apostle Peter. Christ had prepared him for this very task of leading the church through the apostolic age. Set an example for the New Testament church throughout the entire church age. I trust that we as a Lighthouse Baptist Church will continue to focus on the main thing, reverence, righteousness. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Pray that you'd help us to make whatever application necessary tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.